chapter 3. And we're just going to sort of do a quick review, but there's going to be two areas of the Old Testament I'm going to hit on. But if you turn with me to John chapter 3. And really quickly, verse 14. John chapter 3, verse 14. And it says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Now last week I was here, we touched on this verse along with verses 15 and 16. Now this week we're going to kind of expound it even more, and I'm going to take you to why Jesus is right and what he said by "as Moses lifted up the serpent." Amen. Now what is the serpent? Now we understand who the serpent is. Amen. That's Satan. Satan is known as the serpent. The serpent is not Jesus Christ. The serpent is represented as sin. And if you think about it, why did Jesus say what he said? It's because Scripture does back that up. Scripture backs it up by this, that he who knew no sin became sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. That means that our sins went upon him. You know what Jesus did? He was perfect and pure and clean and fulfilled all the law. He took all of our sins upon himself and nailed it to his cross, and our sins were judged on that cross. I'm going to tell you something. As believers, we get chastised, don't we? When we are out of line, God chastens us and says, "Don't ever do that again." And think about those who are non-believers. One of these days, people who choose to reject Christ, they're going to have to suffer wrath. They're going to have to suffer judgment. And why is this? They're going to suffer that because they chose to reject Christ and what he did for them at the cross. I'm going to tell you something. I don't know about you, but that breaks my heart. That's heartbreaking to realize that there's going to be a lot of people who are going to have to go through wrath because of their rejection of Christ. I'm going to tell you something. Christ paid a heavy price. And by the way, when Jesus was on that cross, what did he say? He said, "It is finished." He paid that price in full. And by the way, he paid for your sins that you had committed and would commit. He paid for your sins that you would commit in the future. You know why? Because when Christ died, we weren't even born yet. And yet he died for your sins. Amen. So, with that said, let's go to Numbers. Let's go to Numbers 21. I'm gonna kind of speak really, really fast because I got a lot of information to go through. But Numbers 21, and we're going to start in verse 5. And it says, "And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread." Really quickly, you know who Moses is? Moses is a type and picture of Jesus Christ. You know why? Because Jesus Christ is our mediator between us and God. You know who Moses was? He was the mediator between the children of Israel and God. So we see that Moses is a type and picture of Jesus Christ. And the children of Israel spoke against Moses and against God. Now take a look at this, okay? Because God was displeased, and as a matter of fact, this is what he did. It says in verse 6, "And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us.' And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live.' And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived." So, I know that's a lot to take in, so I'm going to try to simplify this as much as I can. Brass is signified as judgment. The serpent is signified as sin. And the Bible says that anyone who hangeth on a tree is cursed. So we see that our cursed sin was judged at the cross. That's what Jesus, that's what God is trying to show us here, is that He's showing us a picture of what was going to happen to our sin and what was going to happen. God was going to send the greatest gift that He ever gave. That was His only begotten Son. He who knew no sin became sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. That is good news. What's even better news is that Jesus paid it in full. Amen. And so we see here that this is a type and this is a picture that God is showing us of what God was going to do, that our sin was going to eventually be judged at the cross. You know why? Because for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's good news, isn't it? God loved you that much. I'm going to tell you something. This might be hard to wrap around, but even the most fierce dictators, God loved them. Even Hitler. God loved Hitler. He died for him. But Hitler rejected Christ, didn't he? He was wicked. Killed a lot of innocent people. But yet God loved him. And all these other fierce dictators that were wicked, God loved them. God says it's not God's will for any to perish. But for what? But for all to come to repentance. It doesn't matter who you are. The ground at the cross is level. Amen? We all need Christ. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what nation you come from. We all, without Christ, we are all sinners on our way to hell. And hell is a very real place. And God says, I don't want you to go there. Aren't you glad that we don't have to keep the law? Now when I say that, I'm saying that in the terms of we don't need to keep the law for salvation. I'm going to tell you something. We can't keep the law. If anyone tries to tell you that we can keep the law, don't buy into it because they're trying to put you under bondage. Now, is that a license to sin? No, it's not. It is not good for us to steal. It's not good to cheat, lie. It's not good to commit adultery. All those things are bad. God doesn't want us doing that. But what I'm trying to get at is you can't keep the law in order to, you know, you can't keep the law. Your flesh won't let you. God put the law in place to show you that you are lost and that you're sinners and that you are in need of a Savior. Amen? That's why God put the law. And you want to know something? Israel said they can do it. They said, God, whatever you say, we'll do. You know what happened? They built a golden calf and worshipped it. Right there, violated the law. Amen? Our flesh will not allow us to keep the law. The law was our schoolmaster. Where sin aboundeth, grace aboundeth much more. But shall we sin that grace may abound even more? God forbid. But I'm going to tell you something. To be born again means that the Holy Ghost has, that the Lord Jesus Christ has come into your heart and the Holy Ghost has changed your heart. It is God who does the work. It is God who keeps you. It is God who seals you. It is God who performs the work to the day of redemption. Amen. God says, I want you to put your faith and trust in my Son, Jesus Christ. It's about believing in what Jesus did. We do works because not to be saved, but we do works because we are saved. There's a big difference. Amen. Now, really quickly, turn with me to Genesis 22. Genesis chapter 22. and we'll be done. And can kind of go really fast here, so I apologize. 22, number 22 is the number for Revelation. In the book of Revelation, there are 22 chapters. And as we're going to see in Genesis chapter 22, is God's going to reveal is another picture that He's revealing to us even from the beginning about what He's going to, about what He was going to do a couple thousand years later. Amen. So Genesis chapter 22, let's start in verse 1. And it says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham." Okay? That word tempt, what that basically means is that God was testing Abraham. God was putting Abraham to a test. What was God testing Abraham on? His faith. Amen. And he said, "Behold, here I am." And he said, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." I'm going to tell you something. If that's not an indicator of the Lord, of God bringing His only begotten Son, I don't know what is. God said, "Take thine only son that thou lovest." I'm going to tell you something. God gave His only begotten Son to die on a cross. Why? So that we might have eternal life. "And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass, and he took two of his men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come to you again." Let me tell you something. Worship isn't just singing. Worshiping God isn't just singing. It's also your faithfulness and obedience to Him. Why? Because God said, go to the mountain to where I will show you. And Abraham said to his servants, "Me and the lad will go up and worship and come back again." That right there shows you that Abraham had faith. We're starting to see that his actions exemplified his faith, isn't it? Now it says, "And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham," he said, "Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" This next part is very, very important, because what Abraham's about to say is very, very prophetic. And he says, "And Abraham said, My son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering." You want to know something? About 2,000 years later, that's what God did, didn't He? God sent His only begotten Son. You know what John the Baptist said? He says, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." That's Jesus Christ, isn't He? Jesus Christ first came as a lamb that was slain. He went through... I'm going to say this in closing. Okay? Jesus Christ went through agony. They put a thorn of crowns upon His head. They forced the thing on His head. He was whipped and scourged. Then they made Him carry His cross up on that hill. And they crucified Him. I'm going to tell you something. That's a lot to go through. I don't think any of us would be able to handle that. But you know what the good thing is? We don't have to go through that. You know why? Because Jesus went through that for us. Now that's not to say that we wouldn't die, because it is appointed a man to die. He wants to die and then the judgment. But aren't you lucky that you don't have to hang on a cross? Amen. If there's anything I want to say to you today, it's this: that the Lord Jesus Christ loves you. He loves you dearly. He wants you to put your faith and trust in Him and what He did. It is a relationship. It is not about works. The works are a good thing. Your works should exemplify your faith, just like Father Abraham. But there is nothing you can do to earn your salvation. By the way, let me give you this word of encouragement for you. If there is nothing you can do to earn your salvation, what makes you think that you'll lose it? Because if you could lose your salvation, then it's no longer by faith, is it? It's dependent on your works. And I'm going to tell you something. There is nowhere in my Bible in the New Testament, neither in the Old, that says if you could be born again and then lose it. No. If you're truly born again and spirit filled, God seals you with His Spirit. I'm going to tell you something. If you're sealed, it's done. You're saved. Amen. We're saved on a good works, and we're set apart. For God has ordained good works for us to walk in. Amen. We'll close in prayer, and we'll have everybody come up. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you for your goodness. Lord, I thank you for dying on the cross for us. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Lord, please forgive us of our sins. Please cleanse us and wash us, Lord. Please forgive us and have mercy on us, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done, Lord, for the sacrifice that you made on the cross. Lord, we thank you that, Lord, you paid it in full. We thank you, Lord, that you paid that price in full, that we may not have to pay it. We thank you, Lord, today. We love you today. We thank you for your mercy and grace and love. And Father, we do pray and ask all these things in your name. Amen. If you all want to come up and sing a song or two.